Welcome back to Casual Conversations. I'm your host, Ryan Bean, here with my co-host and the talent behind the show, Lena Sweetser. And we have a very special guest today, Martin Thompson, owner of Cat City Grill in Fort Worth. We are so thankful that you took time out of your day to be here with us.
And thank you.
Talk about business and life and all the craziness that's going on in your world right now. Yeah. So thank you for...
We wanted to have him on, and we thought he'd be the perfect second guest of our podcast.
Yep.
Because Martin just recently closed a big chapter in his life, and he's about to enter a new chapter in his life. And I thought you'd be great, because a lot of people are either going through that, are scared to go through that, or have gone through it and haven't recovered through it. So I think you'd be great to help inspire a lot of people.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know how I could help, but I'm here, so, happy too.
A lot more than you think
you will. A lot more than you. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to always ask you is, like, you know, obviously he's, you know, phenomenal restaurant, great service, staff. The food was always phenomenal. You obviously had to make the tough decision after 17 years or 15 and a half years of running your own business and running your own restaurant to close the doors.
Yes.
And I know that had to be a very challenging decision for you, your wife, your employees,
your clients,
all those type of things.
Yeah,
your customers. So one, what kind of brought you to that decision? And are you relieved? Are you...
What are all the emotions?
Yeah, what are the emotions you're going through with closing this chapter?
Wow. So,
don't mind the dogs. That's just part of the best part of the
Let's start with the second part of that. Is yes, I'm absolutely relieved.
Mm-hmm.
It was the toughest decision to make. And I felt every emotion. Fear, anger, failure, guilty, because my employees, my staff are going to be out of jobs, you know. But at some point, and I don't even know, by God's grace, I mean, I got that sense of relief to just to do it.
Yeah.
And why? Well, there's no one reason. There are multiples of reasons, multitudes of reasons, but business just is lacking.
Yeah.
And I held on too long. I probably should have done this 2 years ago. But I always wanted to continue I saw glimmers of hope in the business, and it would get busy, and I'm like, okay, it's bouncing back. It's going to bounce back. And it was all temporary. It never really did.
Well, and you went through running a restaurant business is not for the weak at all. In general. And you went through a lot of COVID. You had to get through COVID, which you survived, which is a big win.
So
a lot of restaurants shut down. And then I don't know about you, but just how people do life these days are just so different. How they more want to pick up or Grubhub or Uber Eats versus go out to a restaurant and enjoy a nice meal. And then you also had the atmosphere change of the area. That wasn't in your favor, right?
Right.
So you had to overcome a lot of challenges.
Yeah, we adapted, I thought, pretty well.
Yes.
I mean, especially through COVID, we made it through that chapter, and I hate to say it, I really do hate to keep saying this, that COVID changed everything, but it did.
Mm-hmm. Changed multiple paths for multiple people.
Yeah. You know, the dining experience is in my opinion no longer the way it was. Everything is super casual and delivery, you know, or high end, and that's fine. I mean, the high end aspect is great. That's celebratory. Let's go out. It's an anniversary. Celebrate big. You know, it's great. And the middle people, like myself and Cat City Grill, we were in there. We were kind of getting squeezed at both ends, and so it just kind of nudged us out. And of course, you know, cost of everything, cost going up, everything, you know, from of course, cost of goods, insurance was the one, I think, the deciding factor for me was insurance, when I was like, you know, I just can't afford insurance anymore, you know, so that was an eye-opening.
Yeah, and I think a lot of businesses right now face those challenges, right? I mean, right now, the cost of doing business is just more expensive, and everyone's getting squeezed, to your point, but I will say this, you know, to make it 15 and a half years, you made the comment earlier about, you know, you kind of felt like, you know, you failed or you failed your employees. I would, from my perspective, would never think that of you, because at the end of the day, you did, you know, in 15 and a half years where most people do in a year or two. Most restaurants don't, you know, survive. It's a dog eat dog world. You got to separate yourself from a ton of competition. You have to be able to navigate a ton of business challenges, like you just said. So to make it a 15 and a half year run and to go out the way you did, I think you did it with class, which I wouldn't expect any different from you. You gave people ample notice. You had these nice dinners, which unfortunately I had to miss the last one, which I'm so upset about. My wife was as well, but not a failure at all. I think we talked about this on this podcast, is that failures are our greatest lessons,
sure,
right? And it tells you a lot about who you are, the character that you have, the character that your wife has. You know, at the end of the day, it was a success. Your business was a success. It didn't end maybe the way you wanted to, but this might have just opened up another chapter for you to bigger and better things.
Well, and I think at his wine dinner and even our last dinner there, so many people were felt with emotions just like you. And that says a lot about you. Because most people just go in there and treat it as a transaction. But I cry in front of people. I don't do that. You know, because you've been a part of my life for 10 years.
Sure.
The wine dinners. I mean, I started going there when I moved here and had no money. But I was like, I'll find a way to make money to go to Cat City Grill wine dinners. You know, and but Cole and I spent I made that post, like our first birthday dinner there in November. And then our last for just closing one. And so, I mean, you've
Cole's
been a big
aged,
part of my life.
Cole's age. You I still know. Look good. Cole's body's gone backwards.
I know. I need to kick that dude to the curb. What am I doing? No, but so I think, I mean, you just brought so much more than a restaurant to people. You brought a community and you brought memories that people are going to.
Well, thank you. And to your point about the failure aspect, that was my personal thing. And
sure,
I've heard a lot of people say it's not a failure. And if I listen to hear them and I think, I thought, you know, it wasn't a failure. Yeah. It wasn't. But to me, it was. And then it's gotten easier for me to accept. And it's not a failure. It's just it was time.
Yeah.
Right. It was time. It all things come to an end at some point. Right.
Sure.
So and then to what you're talking about is the emotions of people. And Denise had people sign this. It was a printing or painting that says, "This is my favorite place and my favorite people." And so she had people sign it and stuff. And we were hearing stories from people, you know. Of course, I had engagements there. I had wedding. I had a wedding there one time. First dates. Mm-hmm. I had this one couple during COVID that were supposed to have a big wedding and couldn't because of COVID, and then went to the Justice of the Peace or something, and they were going across the street to get some ice cream, and their friend surprised them, and they were out on the street holding signs, and Denise and I were at the restaurant looking, and we're like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, they're getting married. So we took them a bottle of champagne.
Aww.
And the wife, never forgot that and came back during this last month of business to thank us and how much that meant to her and them. And now they're married 5 years and have a child. And it's just all these little stories that I never knew what Cat City meant to people.
I think that brings it to the point, and we've talked about it on episodes, we don't know how much we bring to the world because we're our worst critic. I do the same thing because I beat myself up. And when you say the word failure, that's why I got emotional, because last year I was at that point, I felt like I failed. Mm. But it's just, if you switch it, it's just all learning, right?
Right?
Ryan's going through it, and it's like, we're not fail. You only fail when you quit, and you didn't quit.
No, you
ended
a
great chapter.
You close it a chapter, but when you think about what a legacy that is, Martin, at the end of the day, you know, you just did what you were supposed to do. You and Denise did the right thing. You did the right thing by people.
Uh-huh.
You did the right thing for your customers that came in. You did the right thing for your staff.
Yeah.
And we talk about that in this podcast all the time. You know, it's all about, one of the things that Elena and I really feel strongly about is just that real world connection.
Sure.
You know, we've become a world of fake. We've seen it. We all are on social media. We're all on these platforms. You know, you see people, you know, that are shelter themselves from more and more people, and you welcomed it. You welcomed it with open arms. You met so many people from so many different walks of life.
Right.
You touched so many people that you didn't even realize, and you just did it because you were your genuine self. And that's what me and Elena, that's the message that we're trying to get to the people out there, especially the younger generation.
Absolutely.
It's getting so much further and further away from what that human connection means. The fact that you made that wedding so special for her that she wanted to make sure she went out of her way to repay that, that's the kind of stuff that I want this next generation to feel. I don't want them to get away from those type of things because they're so important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I hope you know that that's a legacy that you should be, you know, hanging your hat on and say, man, I'm proud of what we did.
Yeah. Right? Well, thank you. That's cool because we did. That's how we are. That's how we were brought up and you know, deals on handshakes and good to your word and finish, you know, finish what you start and you know, be on time and all that stuff. Though I was late today, sorry. It's traffic.
But so I want to tell people more about your restaurant and how you structured it, because how do you, either a restaurant's going to hear this and they want to think of different ways to bring what you brought to your restaurant, or just people in general and feel that connection. You created menus from the heart. You didn't just do basic stuff. You and Chef, so Chef was self-taught, right?
Yes.
I used to brag about that all the time.
He was a stud.
He was so great. Yes. He's still a stud. And he's doing private parties now.
He
right?
will be. Yes. Okay. We're going to start so doing some private chefing. Yeah.
Like when
for
we went
parties.
To Aruba.
Yeah.
He's doing that.
Okay.
But anyways, so you guys came up with the most brilliant menu. You got my meat and potato husband to eat more than meat potatoes. Let's put it that way. So how did you create all those things?
So we wanted to have things, something for everyone.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to be a steakhouse and have nothing but steaks. So we have to offer, you know, seafood, things that, home cooking style, but elevated. So, you know, the feel good meals is what I would say.
Chicken fried steak was chopped.
You know, and things, things are perceived value, right? I mean, again, a good portion at a fair price. You know, good quality. Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Start with quality stuff. If you don't have quality stuff, then it's it's gonna, you know, show.
Did you ever eat one of their 505 burgers?
Oh yeah.
The bun you just put in your mouth, it just melts in there.
I'm so upset. I used to go over there for lunch more often because
A lot of people are asking you to do a cookbook.
Yes, that's
there. You see, and that could be the next chapter.
So man, that is in the works. Chef and I have already talked, and it's going to take a while, but we're going to get it done.
Oh my gosh!
And I know you offered to help a little bit,
I would love to.
There's some things we got to figure out. We can't put everything in there, but we'll put, you know, the top.
I love this idea.
You know, I don't know, 20, 25 things. I know.
Like the Cassidy Kiss. Cole, we were driving home, and I don't know if I want to say this or not, because it might be gross, but I'm going to. So we're driving home, he burped, he goes, oh, yeah. And I go, what? And he goes, Cassidy Kiss came up.
Oh,
he loves those things. I was like, oh, my God.
Tastes better the first time.
I know. But he loves Cassidy Kisses so much, as do I, and it's part of our relationship, because I remember the first time we went, that's what we got. But every menu, every time we've gone there, you got me to start eating steaks not medium well.
That's right.
They started going further and further down.
Try it. And that's the best part, too. That's why we did have some things, so many options on the menu. And when we first started, understand, too, in 2010 when we opened, we had a three-page menu. Uh-huh. And as the years came down, we dwindled it down to just two pages, or one page, really. And but still had something for everyone. Uh-huh. And I stood by my word. People would ask me, what about this? I'm like, try it. And they're like, well, I don't know about that. Uh-huh. I said, well, if you don't like it, don't worry about it. Uh-huh. I said, but you'll like it. As long as you try it. And getting people to go outside of their comfort zone and give it a try.
Krista didn't like seafood. She tried a prawn at your wine dinner, remember?
There
She's
you
like,
go.
It's actually not that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So why the restaurant business? I mean, what, you know, I'd love for you to tell the people that are listening to us today, and, you know, what's your background? What kind of made you get into the restaurant business? And then what was the driving factor that pushed you to run your own business? Because that's very gutsy, right?
And
a lot of times, especially when people are making a good living, right?
Yeah.
People can make a good living as an employee.
Yeah.
And then for them to kind of have that mental gear of, you know, I'm going to go out and do this on my own. What was kind of that driving factor?
So, you know, growing up in El Paso, going out to nightclubs and stuff like that, and seeing the bartenders, I was like, I want to be a bartender, you know. So I took a little bartending class and learned to bartend. And so I went to work with a small little family owned restaurant in El Paso, and started bartending there, and then ended up managing. They saw a good job I did, and they asked me to manage. So I started managing, and then I went on to another chain restaurant, and even though I support local, and what I learned, Olive Garden, and became, you know, bartended there and served there. And then in 92, when we moved to Fort Worth, had an opportunity to open a restaurant in downtown Fort Worth called Prego's Pasta House, and bartended and served there. And then in 96, I had the opportunity to join the Del Frisco's team. And they asked me to go to the back of the house, which I've always loved cooking. I used to stand on the chair in my in the kitchen with my mom to watch her learn and learn. And so they saw my ability there, and we trained in Dallas for 6 months. And then when we opened the Del Frisco's in Fort Worth, they offered me the chef's position there. And I was with Del Frisco's for 13 years. And we, so we opened Denver, New York, Las Vegas, Orlando, Charlotte, and Houston.
Wow.
So we opened all those Del Frisco's. So, but I wanted to know the whole restaurant industry, you know, I mean, and you know, bartending, serving, kitchen. You know, I wanted to, I thought I wanted to be the GM there, and that didn't work out. And while I was there, they were, people over there asked, Martin, why don't you go out and do your own thing? Why don't you open your own restaurant? And my just standard little answer was like, well, because I don't want to make less money and work harder.
Sure.
Well, in 2008, when I left, and I had the opportunity to open Cat City Grill, lo and behold, you know, it was a lot more work and I made a lot less money, but
But it was yours.
At the end, it was mine.
Yeah.
And that was the best part, is is I didn't work for anyone. I didn't have to answer to anyone. But it was all worth it, you know.
Yeah.
And the 15 years went by like that.
What's the average of local restaurant stays open?
Golly, I
doubt it's 15 years. I feel like that's on the high end.
So, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I've seen so many open and close quickly.
Yeah.
And the failure rate's like supposed to be like 80 something percent of them close within the first
2 years.
Same for realtors, first 2 years.
Yeah.
86%.
Well, it's hard. I mean, people don't realize, I don't think how hard it is, but it goes to say a lot about you, right? And we talk a lot about this. There's a lot of value in the hard knocks way of doing things, right? There's a lot of value in the experience.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people go into these things, they have a big checkbook or they've got investors and they open up these restaurants, but they have no idea the ins and outs of how to run one.
Yes.
And when you are a bartender, a chef, a server, a manager, leading people, leading dinner rushes, dealing with inventory, dealing with major crowds, like being able to understand how the dynamics of that work is why you led to a 15 and a half year run at your restaurant. Yeah. And I firmly believe that, because I tell this to my guys all the time. You know, I would love for you to be college educated. It's not a requirement, but sometimes I think it's overstated too many times. Sure. Mm-hmm. I have some of my best guys were the guys that started on a forklift, started by sorting lumber, worked their way inside, learned how to get to deal with customers, learned how the business ran before they could ever go take on that role. Yeah. And I think so many people just, they've got, I want to be a leader, I want to be a bot.
Right.
They have no idea how the whole thing runs.
Right.
How do you run a restaurant if you don't know how it runs?
I think that's part of what's wrong with people today. They jump in and they think they're entitled to you know, the top job dog, you know, dog job, and
they want 5 years, you know, from now today.
Yeah. Mm. Work through it, figure it out.
Yeah.
And you know, learn all the aspects of it. Mm. Front house, back house, in the restaurant industry type thing. And I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it.
Mm-hmm.
Chef and I work well together. We had great employees and managers. You know, I always talk about, you know, wisdom's in the group. You know, I don't pretend to know everything, because I don't.
Yeah.
I'm stubborn and hard-headed and think, you know, I've got to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And then someone points it out going, you know, what about this? And then I go, oh, damn, they were right, you know? So,
We are the same.
So, sometimes you got to, you know, swallow your pride. And the one last thing I would say about that, too, is I wasn't just the owner writing checks and whatever. I was a bus boy and I was a plumber. I'm server, bartender, whatever, dishwasher.
You do whatever
yeah. whatever I had to do.
There's been a lot of times I've been in restaurants and you just see the manager sit there in the corner and you can tell some of the employees are flustered and they just stand there. You know, you were never that. You were always, we're in this together.
Right.
Well, you were also how I make my customers have the very best experience they possibly can. And at the end of the day, things go wrong.
Sure.
Right? Things go wrong in any business you're having. And I'm sure the restaurants, there's things that go wrong every single day. And you have to figure out a way to navigate around that and pivot throughout your day to make sure your customers stay repeat customers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a kudos to you.
Yeah.
And the team that you built, you know, you built a great culture there. The staff, I always felt like it was more like family. When I went to your restaurant, and I think that says a lot about just your leadership. And I think to your point is, I think what makes a good leader as well is, yeah, at the end of the day, you are the guy writing the checks. It is your business, but the fact that you're open-minded to other ideas, you're open-minded to hearing what other people are that are in the daily grind with you or sure. dealing with,
yeah.
and then being able to acknowledge, hey, I was wrong on that call. That says a lot. That's why your staff was with you for so long. I think that's why Chef mm-hmm. was your ride or die, man. He stuck with you because of who you were as a person, who you were as a leader, and that came out. It came out not only in the food, it came out in the feeling that you got when they went to your restaurant.
They believed in your vision.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it just, that's why I just wanted it to feel welcome, you know? Yeah. The team that we had, you know, just it was just mm-hmm. that way.
I am happy for you and Denise, because you said it at the wine dinner, how instead of now us serving you, we get to enjoy dinner with you.
Right.
And yeah. I love that for you.
The
guys.
goal is to be on the other side, or yes. the receiving end of it.
Yes.
To be able to go out with you guys, to go out to wine dinners with you guys.
Yeah.
I've paid my dues. I've paid, you know, mm-hmm. I did my time. And so now I want to be on the other end of it.
Do you have any wine dinners lined up?
Not yet.
I'm sure you got the ins and outs with all the restaurants.
Yeah, I just haven't figured out anything yet. We're still putting the restaurant to bed now and cleaning it up and getting geared up for the auction and stuff. But
yeah. Well, let's talk about your next chapter in life. Okay. It's an exciting one.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, what are you doing? Besides the cookbook, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, that's going to take a while. But so working with my best friend, Scott Seek, and his company, Synergy Restoration and Maintenance. And he specializes in multifamily and commercial roofing and painting.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I have met. Yes. Yeah. I have met. We had dinner with him before. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
And so, but he does, I mean, they can do anything, or we can do anything. I mean, concrete work, you know, power washing, striping, things like that. You know, we don't focus on commercial roofing, but residential roofing, but we definitely can do it. I don't want to be the ambulance chaser, mm-hmm. you know, when on a hailstorm.
Yeah,
in a neighborhood like that, but you know, we're more the commercial and multifamily type company.
Well,
so
what are you going to be doing for them specifically? Is there anything specific you're going to be doing?
Well, I'm not going to be on the roofs doing the work. I'm too old for that stuff. All but right. I was just with him this morning, and we're at a site at a job we're doing currently doing, and just inspecting, make sure it's done right. Scott's showing me the ropes, you know, and of course we're picking up the loose pieces. And even in my business, in the restaurant, you know, how I was, you know, the busboy and the dishwasher. Well, Scott is the same, you know, background, where he does the work too. And he and I were just right there cleaning up, picking up things, taking things back.
I think that's so cool. You get to work
hands
on. Because you guys have been best friends how long?
Oh, I mean, since high school. So 30 some odd years. Yeah. You know.
Full circle. Yeah. That's super cool.
Has he always tried to recruit you to the business? Or it's kind of, I'm sure he's one of the first to know when you decided you want to close doors.
Yeah. So, I mean, because, you know, we were always talking about it, and I was telling him my struggles and this, that, and the other. And he said, well, you know, come on, let's do this, you know? And I started doing it kind of on the side, part time, you know, trying to figure things out. And, through the restaurant and all the connections that we're networking, if you will, hopefully have some good connections and get some business out of it. And, I mean, it's, didn't really recruit me. Yeah. I was actually thinking about that driving over there today. I was like, you know, kind of just invited myself to join this team. I don't know.
He couldn't say no.
Right? So it worked out.
He knows you have the work ethic and the drive to be successful. So
and the connections.
At the end of the day, your character is going to lend into whatever job, career, choose, right? And, you know, Olin and I talk a lot about that. I'm a firm believer of that. If you've got the right individual, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Or what role you put them in. Sure. They're going to figure out how to make a livelihood for themselves and their families, just because they've got the grit and determination to learn it and to be good at it and just take pride in what they're doing.
And I think being best friends is one thing, but we work well together. We used to bartend together and work in the kitchen together, you know, so we work well together. I know, you know, I'm thinking if he zigs, I zag, you know, and he's... He's super knowledgeable about what he does, and I'm learning, and he's teaching me that.
You guys are going to be me and a Cole.
That's it.
Because Cole's about to start learning, and I was about to start teaching a lot.
That's it.
I have another question for you, for, you know, the youth that are out there. You're like my son, right? He's going into college, you know, in a few short months, which is just crazy to say.
Wow.
I know. I'm getting older, man. It's crazy. but, you know, he's, part of him is not knowing what he wants to do, doesn't want his direction. And I think a lot of people, you know, especially this youth coming up, they see that there's maybe some, you know, not everyone's an entrepreneur, but I guarantee there's people that are listening to us in the younger generation that school's not for them. They want to become entrepreneurs. From someone that ran a business for as long as that you did, and even though you were an employee at some of those other restaurants, mm-hmm. you still ran the restaurants, what's advice that you would give to this next generation of people that are considering becoming an entrepreneur, going out on their own? You know, what advice would you give them, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of being on your own
wow.
as an entrepreneur?
So much to that. Chase your dreams. If you have a dream, do some research. If you're going to do it, invest your time. I mean, don't half-ass it.
I love the don't half-ass
it. Don't half-ass it. You know, you got to put it all in. There's sacrifices. There's some big sacrifices.
What are some of those sacrifices?
Time. You're going to miss out on a lot of things. You know, I think you sleep.
Yeah.
You know, you won't sleep as much. You know, it's just all in.
It's
you know, doing what you say. You know, and following through, make sure it gets done.
I heard a quote once, and it says, before you appear, you need to disappear first.
Mm.
And most people don't understand, you know, when you take yourself away to work on yourself, you might lose some people, but you're working on something that you believe in.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And people that hung around will be there at the top when
sure.
you get there.
Yeah, there's so many people that, you know, they think that being an entrepreneur or being a business owner is so glamorous. They see, you know, especially people become successful, right?
Yeah.
They see the money, they see the things that you have, they see the vacations, and they make a lot of assumptions about where you are. What they don't realize is, like you just said, me and Elena talked about it. I was so glad to hear you saying from the horse's mouth, because me and Elena talk about it all the time. And, you know, we both kind of be kind of entrepreneurial in our business, especially
sure.
her.
Right.
But, you know, on the sales side, I'm very much entrepreneurial forward as well. My career is that there's so much sacrifice behind the scenes. There's so many things that you have to say no to. Holidays, evenings, parties, engagements, vacations.
Right.
Especially the first few years, it's all in on the work. And, you know, the heart is what makes it great.
Right.
I think we all three of us can agree on
sure.
that. What any big reward that you get, it's going to come at a price,
right.
mm-hmm. and that's what makes it so fulfilling when you're actually
much more rewarding, absolutely.
But would you say that it's something that these people, if it's their dream, you know, to go all in? I love the comment on that. Is there anything that you could say is what's the rewarding part of becoming an entrepreneur?
Well,
control of your life.
Sure, control. Yes and no. I mean, I would push back a little bit on that, because the restaurant was kind of that controlling
well,
my life.
Runs you, yeah.
So, but the reward is just knowing that you did it. It is yours.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to work for anyone. You reap the rewards. You see the growth of either yourself, others, your business, all of that. So, yeah, there's the, to your point too, about another reason why I wanted to get out of the business was I didn't want to work nights, weekends, and holidays mm-hmm. anymore.
Right.
You know, that first year of Cat City Grill, it was every day for a year, every day for a year. You know, this last month of Cat City Grill, I committed to be there every day, every shift.
Wow.
And
no sleep, guys.
That was so.
Well, I think most people,
being 15 years older, it wasn't as easy as I thought it was.
Yeah, people see it and they're like, oh, must be nice. You hear that all the time. Must be nice. My nice. I do. And I'm like, were you up till 2 or 3 a.m. working
right.
for the past week?
Right.
Were you there every shift for your job?
They don't know the behind scenes.
They don't. They see the social, like, just
right. How many times my phone rang?
Yeah.
They see the peak of the mountain. They don't see the climb.
Yeah.
Right. How many times, I had to run up to the restaurant because the security was going off, or I got the midnight phone call from the police, or, I mean, whatever the case may be, you know, or troubleshooting. Yeah.
So what was some of the things, obviously, running a restaurant, too? You guys have been here. How long have you been married to your wife now?
Since 2012, so October will be 13 years.
Okay. So what have you guys learned about, you know, obviously being married and being self-employed obviously always puts an extra level of stress on a relationship, on a marriage. What did you guys, you know, obviously you guys have a strong marriage, a strong bond. Everyone can see that when they're around you. What do you think this experience has taught you guys about, one, what have you learned about yourself? And two, how it's made your marriage stronger going through running a business together?
Well, first, to that was what I learned about myself is I need Denise as a support.
Uh-huh.
I can't do it myself.
Uh-huh.
And then second of all, it did exactly that. It made us closer and stronger in our marriage.
Right.
Uh-huh. So she
was always by your side.
Always by my side.
What.
And supportive. Uh-huh. And we talked about, you know, closing it, not closing it, you know, selling it, not selling it. And we both kind of go back and forth. It was like, was it the right decision? Uh-huh. Well, 2 years ago, I was looking at it and probably should have let it go then. But I wanted to make that 15-year mark, you uh-huh. know. And so, well, we made 15 years, but it's, you know, it ended the way we didn't end the way we wanted to. But, uh-huh. you know, it's we got our 15 years. So, but communication with her, talk about things. It was harder in the beginning because I thought she didn't understand.
Uh-huh.
And then towards, you know, the last 2 years, telling her everything about, you know, what do you think about this? Asking her opinion uh-huh. as opposed to you know, thinking, you know, she didn't know. So uh-huh. yeah, it's been great. A growth of again, wisdom's in the group, you know. Yeah.
It says a lot about a spouse. You married a good one. It says a lot about a spouse that no matter what your business is doing, even how low it goes, that they will never leave your side.
Yeah.
They'll be there to support. And like that is, what was that one quote we saw about who you marry is how successful you'll be in life?
Yeah, a man's success is a direct correlation to who he marries,
right?
And, and vice versa. You look at just as a spouse, I think it's the most important decision anyone can make in their
sure.
life because, to your point, having that support, you know, on the nights that you felt like, okay, I'm failing, I'm not getting it done, I'm angry, it's not shaking out the way I want, I'm putting everything into it. Like Elena said, she was there a year ago. I've been there the last couple of years because the economy hasn't been that great.
Right.
You know, my customers, similar to you, are feeling that pain of uh-huh. trying to run a business, paying for inflated costs across the board, trying to keep their key employees employed, trying to make sure they have hours and pay. And it's a big responsibility that a lot of these people take on that a lot of people don't see. They don't see the heartache that it puts on the person that has that responsibility for all these people's livelihood.
Yeah, the stress, and that was a thing too. Is, you know, when I decided to let it go and this, that, and the other, I almost felt immediate relief, you know, because I knew that weight was on my shoulders. I knew the stress wasn't going to be there. The shuffleboard game of moving things around to try to cover whatever I was covering, shift or you know, whatever. But
off my shoulders. You and Denise are very spiritual and strong
yes.
believers in your faith, and I think God has a plan for us all, and that was part of your journey that He planned for you was this 15 years. Of amazing blessings that you got to do for your workers, your employees, your families that visited, your spouse, yourself. And I think that was a good gift from Him.
Absolutely.
It was a great 15
Absolutely.
Years.
Yeah.
And now He's going to bless you in this next chapter.
Well, and thank you. And I'll say yes and amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting to have lunch with my pastor because I have questions, you know, because... I was having doubts
yeah.
in my faith. I was,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's when you're tested,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what that is a test. And it's hard to, as a business owner, you want to control everything. You want to control, and in life, you don't have control. You know, mm-hmm. it's God. This is God's world, not ours.
So it's funny. It's not funny. You said it. I love that you said that because last year when I was at one of my lowest, I remember I was like, God, do you want me to get it out of real estate? What do you want me to do?
Right.
And I'm not kidding you. That afternoon, one of my client's sons, who I sold the house to 3 years prior to that, messaged me out of the blue on Facebook. He's now 18. He's actually going in the Army. And he said, I want you to know you changed my family's life. So I'm going to get emotional. He's like, you helped my mom and dad find a house, something like that. The way you carry your business is so well. Like the way he spoke as mm-hmm. an 18-year-old.
Sure.
And it was out of the blue. And I'm not kidding you. That morning, I was like, what do you want from me? What do you want me to keep pushing?
Right.
You want me to move on?
Right.
I need a sign.
Right.
You know, because you just feel so broken.
And that's the thing. I think I got so caught up in my own world and my own business and my own selfish pride or whatever that I was missing the signs. I wasn't mm-hmm. listening.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be calm. You have to listen. And I wasn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll admit that. I don't like to.
Yeah.
I don't like to admit that, but I will.
But look how much life you're getting back.
Absolutely.
It's such a great point, though, because, like, you know, we talk about this all the time, and we're all spiritual people, and, you know, to your point of when your faith was being tested and the fact that you were, you know, you didn't know where you stood, right, at the end of the day, and you don't even know what this next opportunity is going to come up.
Sure.
Like, you look at what this career path is going to be, and now you're talking about a cookbook. This cookbook could be a New York bestseller. No. You never know.
You never know.
I'm just saying, you never know, right? So, we talk, you know, these things are the thing is finding those opportunities, and things are slapping us in the face on a regular basis, but we get so tunnel visioned on what we have to deal with on a daily basis. Like you just said, we ignore them. The signs are all around us.
Yep.
And then when you take a step back and you really think about it, then you go, wait a minute, that was probably a sign. That was probably a sign. Mm-hmm. I just completely ignored it.
Yep.
And it kept coming up and I just kept ignoring
it.
And, you know, it all comes back to them at the end of the day. And I believe in this deeply, is no matter how far away removed you get, the true believer is always going to come full circle, and he's going to reenter your life, and he's going to make you see things for what they are. He's going to open your eyes to so many other greater opportunities. And you're still so young, man. You might think you're older, but at the end of the day, you still have so much runway in front of you to go do something special and go do something great. And that's what I want our listeners are, you know, all 30 of them. So thank you for that.
32 now.
32. So that and the younger, and my kids especially, is that you have so much opportunity. And, you know, you might have a 10-year run on something, and then after 10 years realize, okay, it's on to the next thing.
It changes.
But you have so much stuff that you can accomplish, and there's so much stuff that you can do. And, you know, I really appreciate your honesty about that, because I think a lot of us deal with the same issues you're dealing with. I think there's a lot of times where we're at our lowest and we wanted to have someone to blame. And sometimes always the easiest one to blame is the one upstairs, feel like we're not catching a break.
Right.
We get sucked into that victim mentality rather than, okay, what can I change about my situation?
Sure.
And we're all doing it.
Well, and like we said, that one episode, anger is a secondary emotion. So really you were just feeling sad. I think that's what it was. You're sad of this chapter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you care.
And you couldn't, because
at the end of the day, you care. Yep. Your wife cares, and you care about your people. Mm-hmm. You cared about your staff.
It wasn't about me. I say that, and I truly believe that. But there's a small part there too, where my pride kept me going, and that's why it's not all of, everything wasn't for me. It was for it's for God's glory. So you know, it was the prayers though that I was praying, and I know Denise was praying, and all my friends and family were praying, and it was like the prayers weren't working, right? Well, they were. They're just not the way.
I think they wanted the best for you, and now you're getting that.
Right.
Your friends and family, specifically Denise, get to have more life with you now.
Your dogs get more of your time.
And those puppies.
I know. Happy about that.
Well, we're so happy that you got to hop on an episode with us. Thank you for agreeing to it.
Oh my goodness, thanks for having me. This is nice.
Sharing your story and, you know, getting people on here. And again, at the end of the day, Elena and I get, you know, we preach a lot of these messages, and sometimes I think it falls on deaf ears because they keep hearing the same messaging. So to hear it from, you know, someone that's completely unbiased and completely outside the normal podcast, to come in and to have worked as an employee, to started your own business, to now circling back to doing a whole new chapter, to maybe writing a cookbook, and you look at all these things that you've accomplished in your life, all these things you've done in your life, and all the different angles that you've attacked it, and you're still moving forward. You're still showing that grit. You're still showing that perseverance. You're still showing that care, and you're showing what real connections did for you and the people around you, man. And I want you to know that. I want you to know when I went to your restaurant, and my wife feels the same way. If your goal was to make it feel like my family's coming over for dinner, you hit that on the head.
Wow.
That's awesome. Accomplished that goal 10 out of 10. And we'll miss it for sure.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we need to host you and your wife for dinner for once. Maybe we'll come over, we'll do wine tasting
here.
We'll have you guys over for dinner if you want to make the long jaunt all the way to Highland Village in this traffic. But thank you for the years of great memories.
Absolutely.
You created a lot of memories for my wife and I. We've had a lot of anniversaries. We've had date nights. We've had phenomenal conversations with the people at the tables. We've met people from all.
Probably had a little too much wine at your wine dinner.
We did get a hookup from the waiters. They always gave our table a little extra love on the wine dinner, so I always appreciated that.
VIP table.
We had a good table,
but you made it feel like family.
Yeah.
You did it the right way.
Thank you.
And I think just the character that you and your wife have, is going to lead you to prosperity on whatever you go and do next.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for opening your home to me, and thank you to invite me. I didn't know why you might want to interview me, but I was, this is cool. This
got
is
a
cool
great story.
But yeah, we're looking forward to it, and you know, hopefully Denise will be able to not work so much too in the future, and we spend more time together. Yes, traveling.
Yes.
So yeah,
I mean, you got the hookup for the air travel.
Right.
Right. No doubt. Use it.
No Cabo in November.
And like I said in my post, when on our my last dinner with Cole, it's what I say: restaurants may close, may end, but memories never do.
Mm.
And you will be with everybody's memories forever.
That's right. So thank you.
I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Because like I said, we push the younger generation, and hey, we, you know, I feel, me and Elena feel strongly about, we owe a responsibility to these next kids that are up and coming, that you got to work hard. It's not going to be handed to you. There's so much more knowledge that comes when you get it with the experience rather than try to learn it in a book. Just get in there and do it.
That's it.
So thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on here. Guys, thank you for listening. Martin, I'm sure, will come up, and when his cookbook releases, we're going to give a major shout out for that. And,
be patient.
And, you know, he had a lot of great stuff to say today, and hopefully you guys got the message loud and clear. There's no easy path, no matter what direction you guys take. It's going to take grit. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take sacrifice. But the greatness comes with the heart.
Yeah. And if there's anything in our episode that inspired you or made you think of somebody, share it with them and show Martin some love.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye. See you next one.